It's 106 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live from my living room in Palm Springs, California. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang is at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, we've got our first breakthrough case of COVID in Congress. Senator Lindsey Graham has announced on Twitter that he has tested positive for COVID-19, even though he's gotten the vaccine. But he did say his symptoms are very mild and believes that is because he got the vaccine.
Our pal Howard Bragman tested positive for COVID-19, despite the fact that he was fully vaccinated, too. Did you see that?
I did, and these things make a lot of waves, but still, it cannot be said enough that breakthrough cases are less than 1%, a percent of a percent of the people that have gotten the vaccine. Today, the White House announcing 70% of adults in the United States have gotten at least one dose of the vaccine.
That's right, and if you talk about the most at-risk categories, you're talking about people over the age of 65, people with comorbidities, their vaccination rate is certainly much higher than the vaccination rate as a whole in the country.
But despite that, we're still looking for messengers to get that, to get across the finish line to the people that still haven't, made up their mind about what they want to do here. And the CDC has even reached out, paid $3.5 million to former football players to see if they can get the message across. There's one person they didn't pay, though.
Oh, yeah? Did he do it for free?
That's right. They didn't need to pay OJ any money in this NFL Alumni Association because OJ's doing vaccine PSAs on Twitter right now.
Let's listen.
Hey, Twitter world. It's me, yours truly. It's heard something really interesting today. You know, with 99 or whatever percent of people dying or the unvaccinated from the new COVID stuff, and over 90% of hospitalizations, especially in Florida, are among the unvaccinated. A female doctor was on this morning. She made the best analogy I've heard. She said that being vaccinated is like wearing your seatbelt, that it doesn't guarantee you won't get in an accident, but if you do, you have a much better chance of surviving. Hey, get your shots. I don't like wearing masks. And as you people who aren't getting the shots that has brought this mask thing back, I'm just saying. Take care.
Sounds like if you don't get your shot, OJ's got some getting even to do.
You know, I've seen some PSAs where they tell you to get jabbed or stabbed or something along those lines. If there's any type of PSA that OJ should stay away from, it's one that encourages you to get stabbed. I'm just saying. 800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. She is a trauma surgeon, an expert on mass casualties, former chief medical officer for Harrah's. You can follow on Twitter at Dr. Kelly Victory. Dr. Kelly Victory, hello.
Hey, John. Happy Monday and welcome back from vacation. I hope it was awesome because you're coming back to a world of craziness here with doubling back to lockdowns and mask mandates and likely school closures to follow.
Well, let's start with the schools. That's what we spent the first hour talking about. And you listen to the details of what people like Randy Weingarten are saying or what Rochelle Weeping Wilinski is saying. They're not saying the schools will be open come hell or high water this fall. They're saying it's our hope, it's our goal, we're going to try. That's not a definitive declarative statement, is it?
No, and I think that they're laying crepe for what's undoubtedly going to be more either limited school openings or more likely full out return to just remote learning, whatever the heck that is. I think it's pretty clear that, you know, word around the White House is that they're looking at stricter, broad-based lockdowns, full-out lockdowns by the second week of August. So I would not be a bit surprised because they continue to follow these, quote, number of cases, the Delta variant, despite the fact that there's no question in the minds of clinicians that the Delta variant is very, very mild. That's not what you're hearing from the mainstream media. They're continuing to sound the alarm about the, you know, horrific, scary, wildly transmissible Delta variant. And therefore, I think that is likely we will see schools, as I said, either open only in some very limited capacity or not at all.
Who should be the counterbalance to the teachers' unions here? because as we talked about before, the teachers' unions represent the teachers. Someone has to step up and represent the students. Who should that be? Because it's certainly not the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Hardly. The only people left are parents. It's up to parents to say, we are done with this. We're going to refuse to pay our taxes, or we're taking our kids out. We'll start a charter school. We'll do whatever, we'll start homeschooling. The teachers could be out of a job really fast if parents banded together and said, we are going to homeschool. And there are enough of us. We have enough power in numbers that we can essentially shut down a school district by saying, you have no kids left. There's no justification for you to have any teachers in this school district because there are no kids who are willing to attend the school. I think it's got to be parents. And frankly, if we repeat and go back to the kinds of lockdowns, mask mandates, all this stuff that we had a year ago, I think you are going to see that kind of a pushback, or I sure as heck hope so.
One of the problems that President Trump had going into government without ever having been in elected office before is that he didn't have a team of people that he could bring with him. And part of what goes along with having a team is you have people who are loyal to you, you have people who you work well with, and they can mesh well with you, they can mesh well with the government, they can mesh well with one another. As an outsider, he had to rely on others, people like Reince Priebus and Jared Kushner, to do a lot of the hiring, and they made some decisions that weren't very good. One of those decisions, by my estimation, was the Surgeon General. I believe his name is Jerome Adams. While I was on vacation last week, I saw one of his tweets where he said that we should absolutely go back to lockdowns. And I'm sitting here scratching my head thinking to myself, you have people like Fauci who are out, who were behind the lockdowns the first time around. You have certain governors and public health directors like Newsom and Cuomo and Gretchen Whitmer and Barbara Ferrer who were out there beating the drum on lockdowns. And the people who were providing the pushback were people from states like Georgia and Florida and Texas, people who are political allies of President Trump. Then you have his appointed Surgeon General come out last week and say that we need to lock down again. What the hell?
It is unconscionable to me, John, particularly because the literature, the research, data are very, very clear about the harm caused by lockdowns. We know that lockdowns do far more harm than good by an order of magnitude. The number of cases that we have seen of delayed cases of cancer diagnosis, issues with diabetes and heart disease, just absolutely skyrocketing numbers of depression and substance abuse, all because of these lockdowns. I just read a horrifying statistic out of the UK and Canada this morning that incidents of child abuse involving head trauma to children increased by 1,500% in the UK. During the lockdowns. Think about that. Parents are locked at home, frustrated, out of work, in close quarters with their kids, and it's translating into unbelievable increases in child abuse. Where are all the people, talking, screeching about the children? These are real things that are happening. Lockdowns do absolutely nothing to stop the spread of a respiratory virus. We proved that the last time. Going back and doing it again is absolutely absurd, and it will translate into, I promise, more issues with not only psychological and social issues with depression and substance abuse, but it will be, again, delayed diagnosis of cancer, escalations of diabetes and heart disease out of control, child abuse issues, and on and on. The idea that Jerome Adams would stand up on a podium and say that, he is a paid talking head. And it is the thing that no doubt really hindered Trump. Unfortunately, President Trump tried to bring in Dr. Scott Atlas, but Scott Atlas was absolutely decimated by the mainstream media. And that's before, frankly, all of the cancel culture and censorship was as crazy as it is now. Now you can barely get a word in edgewise on any of these networks because you are shut down immediately if you don't stick to their standard narrative.
You know, it's interesting on the subject of lockdowns. Over the last week, I saw this chart that compared three Western states to one another, Arizona, Nevada, and California. Arizona was the first to open up and the last to impose mask mandates. Nevada was next in line, and then California was, of course, last. And it didn't matter what the mask policies were. It didn't matter when they shut down or when they opened up. It doesn't matter what metric you're looking at. If you're looking at cases, hospitalizations, deaths, the states were almost exactly the same, regardless of what the policies were, which leads me to believe something I've been saying for some time, virus gonna virus.
Exactly. And this is what I've said from the beginning. So you're talking about you can implement all of these made up ineffective mitigation schemes and absolutely decimate the economy and the social structure of your communities, or you can just run around, you can rally around and protect people who are in those high risk categories. You can promote early treatment with all of the drugs that we know treat this virus effectively. You can promote the things that we know will actually enhance people's immune systems to function and let people do what they normally do, go to work, go to school, run their businesses, and keep their families and communities intact. Lockdowns are do nothing but harm, and there is no impact on the rates of transmission of the virus. Same thing, you're going to see the same thing with masks, and putting these masks back in place, once again, has nothing but downside. There will be no appreciable change in the transmission of the virus by wearing masks. Not only do masks not work that way, but you have to remember that the entire premise of imposing mask mandates is this fallacy of asymptomatic spread. This idea that a bunch of people who have nary a symptom are somehow at risk of spreading a virus. We know and we've known for decades that asymptomatic spread is rare at best. Nature, a very reputable scientific publication, came out in November of last year, November 2020. They studied 10 million people and came to the conclusion not only that asymptomatic spread was rare, but that it didn't occur at all. 10 million people, no asymptomatic spread. Yet that is the basis for which we are implementing mask mandates across the board. It's absolutely insane. It's the most unscientific thing I've ever heard in my entire career in public health.
One of the other subjects that you and I spend a lot of time talking about is rules for thee, but not for me. Gavin Newsom being caught at the French Laundry is the most famous example of it, but we've seen Sheila Kuehl do it by voting to shut down the restaurants and then being caught at her favorite neighborhood Italian joint in Santa Monica. We saw it happen to the mayor of San Francisco, who also got caught at the French Laundry, the mayor of Chicago, the mayor of LA, and others. Well, we have yet another example as the mayor of Washington, D.C., who imposed a mask mandate on her citizens, was caught hanging out maskless with Dave Chappelle, caught officiating a wedding without a mask. No one was wearing a mask who was participating in that wedding. Why do these politicians who impose mask mandates continue to get caught violating their own rules?
Well, it's not just the sheer hypocrisy of it. And, you know, Muriel Bowser from Washington, just classic, less than 24 hours after she reinstitutes a mask mandate indoors across the board. Yes, she's at a birthday party, you know, hosting a birthday party for herself and then officiating a wedding indoors with gobs of people, not a mask in sight. It's not just the sheer hypocrisy of it. What it does is it reflects the reality, which is that they don't believe the necessity of wearing masks one bit. They know darn well it's a bunch of hooey. If they were concerned one bit about spreading or contracting COVID because they weren't wearing a mask, do you think they'd put themselves at risk? They're such card-carrying narcissists, they certainly would protect themselves from this deadly virus, wouldn't you think? But instead, they go maskless because they know darn well that they are useless and this is all theater.
You know, it's funny. Whenever they're confronted about it, they always have the same reaction. They apologize in a statement in a half-ass sort of way, and then they refer back to the statement and they'll never address it again.
Precisely. They say, oh, I'm sorry, it was bad judgment on my part. Here's why I did it. Think about, you know, Gavin Newsom, who was critical of people pointing to his kid not wearing a mask and going to a camp where clearly the kids were not wearing masks despite the, quote, mandate for them to do so. And they will say, oh, it was just a moment in time. The kids took their masks off to take that quick snapshot and then put them back on. No, they didn't. There's not a mask in sight. Look at that photo. Those kids don't have a mask in their hand. There are no masks. They're out and out lying about it. They get caught, and then they make up some really lame, flimsy excuse, and then move on. Nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see. Move along until they do it again the next time. And the bottom line is, as I said, if they had any concern about their health, the health of their children, the health of their friends and family at these events, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. You have no choice but to conclude that they know darn well that these masks are useless. They are being put in place as theater and as a control mechanism, furthermore, to try to push people down their singular goal of 100% vaccination.
How long do you think this is going to go on?
I fear it's going to go on for quite some time. We are now getting towards the latter part of summer, and I can pretty much guarantee there will be an uptick in cases of all respiratory viruses because it always happens as we get into the fall. So as you get into September, we'll see an increase in all forms of respiratory virus. That's the nature of the seasonal fluctuation. So we will see an uptick in cases of influenza, COVID, whichever particular variant we happen to be on, you know, whichever Greek alphabet letter we're on that particular week, we'll see common colds and every other form of respiratory virus start to uptick. I certainly think that the teachers' unions will continue to push on this as a reason not to go back to in-person learning in the fall. They will continue to push on these vaccine policies, despite the fact that none of them still have gotten over the FDA approval hurdle, which would give some legal protection, in my mind, to employers and other organizations who are trying to mandate it. But I fear this is going to go on well into the fall.
Given the fact that no one was really testing for regular influenza last year and the cases were so few and far between that they were able to verify, what do you make of the seasonal influenza vaccine that should be hitting the pharmacies later this month or early next month? Is that going to be as effective as it usually is by your estimation?
Well, who the heck knows? Because you won't find something you don't look for. If you don't test for influenza, you won't find any cases of influenza. So we have no idea how effective or ineffective the influenza vaccine was last year because they didn't test for or report cases of influenza. For all we know, it was 100% effective or 100% ineffective. Who the heck knows? Because they only reported this combined number, this PIC number of pneumonia, influenza, and COVID all lumped together. Furthermore, the CDC has finally acknowledged that the most commonly used PCR tests were completely incapable of differentiating between COVID and influenza. And for all we know, a lot of the cases that were reported as COVID actually were influenza in the first place. That's what we worried about all along. Everything was reported as COVID and nothing was parsed out as actually influenza. So who knows how they are even going to report the numbers this coming fall? I wouldn't be surprised if they don't report influenza cases again. And therefore, once again, we will have no idea how the influenza vaccine is performing.
I'm going to get the flu shot this year, as I always do. Does it matter when you take the shot? Does it matter if you take it in August or October or November in terms of how much protection it offers?
Well, no, I would say if you're going to get one, I generally recommend that people get it earlier in the season than later. You want to give your body adequate time to amp up whatever antibodies it's going to amp up, whether or not they will be the right ones for this year's particular strain. There's no way to say, but there's no benefit in my mind to waiting later. There's no benefit to waiting into November or December, say, when influenza season is in full force. It's not like if you get it later on, you'll have better immunity. If you're going to get it, I would get it as early in the season as it's offered.
If you have a question for Dr. Kelly Victory, give us a call at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Dr. Kelly, before we get to the phones, I talked to some friends over the weekend who went bar hopping in L.A. County, and they said that depending on which bar you went into, some of them required proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test within a certain period of time. And if you didn't have the right documents on you, they wouldn't let you in. Some of them needed to see the actual card. Some of them would accept a picture on your phone. And if there's anything that's not productive, it's bouncers fighting with drunks. But that's what happened apparently this weekend. We've certainly seen all the videos of the fights on the airlines and that sort of thing. There has to be a better way of handling this. Dr. Kelly, I think your phone's on mute.
Sorry about that. I was. I think this is perhaps the most insidious thing that's occurring with the pandemic right now, is this divisiveness and this sort of rift that's being driven between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, this blame game that's going on. And we are playing right into the hands of the powers that be when we do this. First of all, if you are vaccinated, and I respect anybody who made that choice for themselves, that's awesome. I assume you believe that the vaccine worked, that it was right for you, and why don't you act like you're vaccinated now? Stop pointing fingers at other people. There's no reason to believe that a vaccinated person is at risk from an unvaccinated person. And I don't find it a useful discussion for us to be having. It's nothing but divisive. It would be no different, by the way, and it would be totally unacceptable for me as a physician to be walking around saying, look, here are the big drivers of healthcare costs in this country: obesity, inactivity, and smoking cigarettes. I maintain my weight. I work out every single day of my life, and I don't smoke. But I don't have the right to go around and criticize other people and say, look, you're fat, you're sedentary, and you smoke cigarettes. It's your fault that healthcare costs are what they are. Okay? No one would find that acceptable. So why is it acceptable for people to walk around and say, oh, you're not vaccinated, you made a different choice than I did, so this pandemic is on you? I mean, that really isn't acceptable. If you're vaccinated, great.
Well, and shifting the fight to bars where you're dealing with drunk people, that's just a recipe for disaster.
Well, or shifting it to airplanes, where you're foisting this responsibility onto flight attendants to try to figure out, you know, whether or not people are putting their masks back on between sips and bites and all of this silliness. And unfortunately, I think that that's what they are hoping to do. When I say they, I mean people like Anthony Fauci and the federal government. They are hoping that private industry will take on the role of being the enforcers, whether it's a bouncer at a bar or a flight attendant, you know, on the airplane, or, you know, whoever it is who's got to somehow try to, you know, maintain or enforce some mandate that was put down. So the government puts down the mandate, but then they leave it up to private industry to try to enforce it. I think it's very divisive. I don't think it's a useful way to take this. It certainly isn't based on the science whatsoever. We know that vaccinated people themselves can still get COVID. And we know, because the CDC has acknowledged it, that vaccinated people not only can get COVID, they can be spreaders of it. Okay, so where's the virtue? Stop the virtue signaling. If you chose to get vaccinated, good on you, but you have no virtue left because the CDC has now outed you and said you can not only get COVID, but you can spread it. So we would do well to focus on the things that will actually get us out of this pandemic. In my mind, that's things like focusing on all of the early treatment options, educating people about how to maintain their own health and wellness, how to enhance the functioning of their own immune systems, those sorts of things. Pointing fingers and driving a rift between vaccinated and unvaccinated is not a winner.
You know, I have a very difficult time sleeping on airplanes. When I'm on an airplane, I typically bring a book and I read the entire time. On my flight back on Saturday, I was able to fall asleep, which is something that happens once in a blue moon. I was wearing my mask. My mask, while I was asleep, came down to the bridge of my nose. The flight attendant came by, woke me up, and told me to wear my mask properly. from that point forward, I am not a confrontational person. I am not someone that takes delight in fighting with others. I'm not rude. I'm not impolite. I try to always be my best self, especially in circumstances like that. I would not acknowledge his existence for the rest of the flight.
It's just obnoxious, and it's unnecessary. So you're going to need to do what I do on an airplane, which is eat your body weight in pretzels. you just have to eat from the second you get on the plane until the second you deplane. You just have to constantly be nibbling at pretzels, because that's the only justification for having your mask down. That's my answer.
All right, let's go back to the phones, or I guess I should say to the phones. And begin with Rita. Rita, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hello. I'm curious about the amount of children that came across the border that they weren't together with their parents, but they were housed in the Civic Center some time back. What is the percent of them that tested positive, and what directions were they all sent into Southern California, and are they school age? Of course they're school age. Is that one of the biggest problems that they're having about the school children being vaccinated and masked? I'm just curious about that. No one's talking about it, and you know.
Well, I can't. Yeah, I can. It's an important thing to bring up, because I can tell you for a fact we know that huge percentages of the people coming across the southern border have tested positive, and unfortunately, they have been dropped off without any notification. Not just in California, but around the country, busloads of them are getting taken into certain towns and dropped off, and we have no idea then of knowing how many people are COVID positive, what strain they happen to be bringing in. Are you in, you know, if you take somebody from the southern border and drop them off in Indianapolis, did you just import a strain to Indianapolis that wouldn't have been there otherwise? I have no idea if those kids are actually getting into the school system or not, but the hypocrisy of allowing people to come unfettered across the southern border when you can't fly into the United States, say from Canada, without a COVID test, I think the hypocrisy is really glaring.
Well, and this is just another example. Last summer, it was the peaceful protests in big cities all over America. Right now, it's the chaos at the border. If you are vaccinated and you want to go on, say, a cruise ship without a mask, or you want to go in an office building in LA County without a mask, they treat you like you're Jack the Ripper. But if you come over the border, or you want to go out in the streets with a bunch of people, that's fine, because they consider that virtuous.
Absolutely. Or if you want to attend Lollapalooza, you know, how many 100,000 people were there? Very few masks in sight. Again, it's this hypocrisy that is blatant that leads me to believe if they really believed it were a risk, they wouldn't let these protests go on with people, you know, standing shoulder to shoulder and no masks. You wouldn't have these big concerts or get-togethers and allow those things to happen. You sure as heck wouldn't be letting people stream in across the southern border without being tested, or send them off, ship them off to various places around the country without quarantining first. So I think that you have to ask those questions. Why is there such inequity here?
If you have a question for Dr. Kelly Victory, give us a call at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Before we go back to the phones, though, Dr. Kelly, on the subject of potentially more lockdowns, let's listen to Flip-Flop Fauci on that subject. Cut two.
Help me understand, are we headed towards a period once again where we're going to see lockdowns, businesses shutting down, masks routine for everybody, or is this potentially just a temporary setback?
John, I don't think we're going to see lockdowns. I think we have enough of the percentage of people in the country, not enough to crush the outbreak, but I believe enough to not allow us to get into the situation we were in last winter. But things are going to get worse. If you look at the acceleration of the number of cases, the 7-day average has gone up substantially. You know, what we really need to do, John, we say it over and over again, and it's the truth. We have 100 million people in this country who are eligible to be vaccinated who are not getting vaccinated. We are seeing an outbreak of the unvaccinated. There's some breakthrough infections among vaccinated. You'd expect that because no vaccine is 100% effective. But in the breakthrough infections, they are mostly mild or without symptoms, whereas the unvaccinated, who have a much, much, much greater chance of getting infected in the first place, are the ones that are vulnerable to getting severe illness that might lead to hospitalization and, in some cases, death. So we're looking not, I believe, to lockdown, but we're looking to some pain and suffering in the future because we're seeing the cases go up, which is the reason why we keep saying over and over again, the solution to this is get vaccinated, and this would not be happening.
Dr. Kelly, he didn't slam the door on future shutdowns, if you parse his words.
No, he didn't. And obviously, he will not be the person ultimately making that decision. Unfortunately, I don't think you can hang your hat on anything Anthony Fauci says. It's only Monday, John. He's got until the end of the week to flip-flop 17 times. So I wouldn't be surprised if he changed his tune in 24 or 48 hours, because that's what he's done all along. Again, he continues to focus just on vaccination. And my approach at this point is there are 100 million people who have had access to the vaccines now for some months. There's been nothing but nonstop PSAs about it and people talking about it 24/7 on radio and television. That 100 million people really doesn't want the vaccine. For whatever reasons, they've determined it's not right for them or they don't feel comfortable with it. I think we would be better off as a society, as a country, as public health specialists, to focus on other things right now. You can continue to offer the vaccines, but I think we ought to be focusing on early treatment and on educating people on the other things they can do to stay healthy, rather than constantly, you know, bashing them over the head with the idea that if you get vaccinated or else. I don't see it working. We are not moving the needle. You certainly are not convincing anyone I know who hasn't been vaccinated yet is not being convinced to get vaccinated because they hear Rochelle Walensky or Anthony Fauci go on, you know, or Andrew Cuomo or anybody else go on television and say, it's your fault. It's your fault. We're in this pickle because of you, you bad person. It's not effective. It's not working.
If the goal is to vaccinate as many of those 100 million people as possible, if I'm looking at making a persuasive argument, one of the arguments I think that would actually really move the needle is by being honest about the origins of the virus. I know people who took that vaccine because they believe, as I do, that that virus was released from a lab in Wuhan. And if man was tinkering with it, and this is in part a man-made virus, that's a different animal from what we've seen before, and that would be a motivating factor for people to take the vaccine. Do you believe if Fauci was honest about that, as Robert Redfield and others have been, that that would impact whether or not people got vaccinated?
Absolutely. I think if they gave a more balanced approach, and that would be a part of it, John, would be to talk about the true origins. It also would be helpful in my mind if they said, look, get vaccinated. Will there be breakthrough cases? Yes, there are breakthrough cases, but we also have lots of ways to treat it. We have medications to treat it with, but they won't talk about that. If they would talk, if they would give a balanced response, it cannot be just vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. If you, number one, talked about the true origins and the fact that we think this is the best way to protect yourself from this man-made or man-manipulated virus, that would be helpful. If they talked about the ways to treat it, if you have a breakthrough case, that would be helpful. If they talked about things that you could and should be doing, like supplementing vitamin D and zinc, those sorts of things. It's their absolute refusal to talk about anything else that I think is making them appear highly, highly suspect. People are saying, why is there such unbelievable imbalance in the message?
Let's go to Eric. Eric, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hi. I have a question for Dr. Kelly. She talks about the T-cell detect test, and I checked into it. My girlfriend and I think we had COVID in January of 2020, but we're not sure, so we'd like to take the test. I called them, and they said the test they can only guarantee for this for a six-month period. Hello?
Okay, well, I don't know what quote-unquote guarantees they're putting on it. Normally, you would certainly have T-cell immunity that would be, you know, much, much longer than that. We have every reason to believe that T-cell immunity following COVID will last for years, if not decades, the same as it did for people who had SARS-CoV-1 back in 2003. We're seeing certainly evidence that natural immunity is at least as good as vaccine-induced immunity. The Cleveland Clinic did a study, and now Emory has come out and replicated a study showing that natural immunity is very strong, robust, and appears to be enduring. I cannot speak to what guarantee, quote-unquote, the T-detect test gives on their specific test. But if you have T cells, it still might be worth doing, because if you show T cell immunity, then you know. So if it's positive, it's helpful. If the test is negative, then it doesn't mean much.
Dr. Kelly Victory, thank you so much for stopping by today. We always learn so much every time you're on.
I will be back tomorrow. Thanks, John.
All right. Looking forward to it. We have one more hour coming up on the John Phillips Show. Susan Shelley stops by to talk a little recall. Don't you go anywhere. 790 KABC.